I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. It's a new ballgame in Washington, D.C. Come January, it will be the Republicans in control of the House of Representatives. House GOP leader John Boehner said today that he's already spoken with President Obama about the challenges ahead.
Last night, the president was kind enough to call me. We discussed working together on the American people's priorities, cutting spending, creating jobs. And we hope that he will continue to be willing to work with us on those priorities.
President Obama put his own spin on election results at a news conference this afternoon. He said the message from the American people is for everyone in Washington to work harder to reach consensus. And he tried to put yesterday's vote in a global economic context.
The most important contest we face is not the contest between Democrats and Republicans. In this century, the most important competition we face is between America and our economic competitors around the world. To win that competition and to continue our economic leadership, we're going to need to be strong and we're going to need to be united.
That's just one aspect of U.S. foreign policy that could be affected by the new political reality on Capitol Hill. We're going to hear about some others from two former U.S. diplomats. Nicholas Burns was Under Secretary of State under President George W. Bush. He also served under President Clinton. And James Rubin was Assistant Secretary of State in the Clinton administration. Nicholas Burns says Republicans and Democrats will confront their new foreign policy challenges almost immediately.
Foreign policy is going to be front and center just in a matter of days because President Obama is about to leave for a trip to India and Indonesia, Japan and South Korea. So whether he likes it or not, or whether the Republican Party likes it or not, both of them are going to have to start working together on these very important foreign policy challenges facing our country. And obviously a big issue is, can the president continue with the Afghan war effort at $100 billion a year? Can he count on a majority of the Congress to support him? Will the Republican Party and will the Tea Party, which has no known foreign policy platform that I'm aware of, will they agree to support an aggressive American leadership role in the world?
Jamie Rubin, if you would describe President Obama's foreign policy as one of engagement right now as being the hallmark, do you think that that will be transformed? Will it be forced to change now under the new configuration in Washington?
I don't think it'll change that much. Ironically, the Republican Party is probably more supportive of his Afghan war policy than the Democratic Party. In terms of engagement, the kinds of engagement that worried some on the right with respect to Iran or North Korea never really happened. And in fact, the policies that President Obama has pursued have been pretty moderate. He's ratcheted up sanctions on Iran successfully. But I don't think he can be accused from Republicans in Congress of somehow giving away the store to Iran.
Actually, that's a good point for you, Nicholas Burns, because you were the Bush administration's point person for several years with Iran. Do you see there having been any kind of major shift under President Obama, despite perhaps the initial talk and initial overtures, and anything that could be undone by the new Congress?
I really don't. I think that President Obama has essentially pursued an extension of President Bush's policy, that is, try to engage with Iran, try to negotiate. So I think the challenges might come on other issues. As Jamie said, perhaps on the Afghan war and holding a majority together in Congress, particularly from the president's own party, perhaps on free trade. But this might be an area where we might be able to see possibly some bipartisan consensus emerge. The Democrats have traditionally been, in the last several years, more skeptical of free trade agreements of the types with Colombia and South Korea that President Bush negotiated. One way to achieve some common ground between the new Republican majority in the House and the Obama administration might be an agreement to move forward on those free trade agreements to stimulate trade between the United States and those countries, which would be good for our economy.
I wonder to what extent, Jamie Rubin, you see changes that might be forced on the administration itself because of the results of the election.
Well, it's hard to predict too much down the road because I think Nick and I both agree that the broad contours of the Republican takeover and the president's foreign policy don't lend itself to big fights. But if one was going to speculate, I think there would be two big areas. One would be if indeed the president decided next summer that the Afghan war required major reductions in U.S. forces, and his general on the ground was concerned about that. I could see a Republican House of Representatives trying to separate President Obama from his military advisors if there was an argument over how many troops to withdraw. Also, if Iran takes more dramatic steps towards brandishing its nuclear capability, there are certainly loud voices on the Republican Party, beginning with Sarah Palin, but including John McCain and others, who have argued for military action against Iran's nuclear program.
Nick Burns, do you think that the United States is more likely to engage in the use of its military abroad, military force abroad, specifically with the Republicans now having taken over the House?
I actually don't foresee that. We've just gone through a rather unusual period in American history where we've launched two wars in the last decade. We're pursuing two land wars, very difficult, in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think the emphasis, I would think, from both political parties would be, how can we emerge from Iraq successfully, and what do we do about Afghanistan when the surge, while I think was well-intentioned and was the right decision, has not yet resulted in the kind of changes in the battlefield that we had hoped for.
Just looking internally, and we'll let you go after this, I wonder for both of you, James Rubin and Nicholas Burns, what it's like to be part of an administration that takes a political blow such as this.
Well, actually, I was in working with Madeleine Albright at the UN in 1994. I remember she was sitting in the Security Council when the news came in that both the House and the Senate had gone Republican for the first time in four decades. And something really changed in terms of the ability of the United States to operate through the United Nations and other international institutions, because the Gingrich-led Congress opposed that. So I think that I've been there, I've seen it. The hardest thing is what Nick referred to earlier, which is the perception of the power of the United States. You can see how diplomats from other countries, ministers from other countries, look at you a little bit differently, wonder how strong the United States is, whether we've lost a step, and whether they can exploit some of the, let's call it, difficulties in making national decisions.
Final thoughts from you, Ambassador Burns.
I saw this in the Bush administration after the Republican defeats in 2006. We found bipartisan support for some important initiatives, independence for Kosovo in 2008. The India Civil Nuclear Agreement, with strong Democratic support, including from senators Biden, Clinton, and Obama at the time, for a Republican initiative. And so I think we're still capable of finding some middle ground in the United States, of having our political parties come together on issues of major international importance.
Ambassador Nicholas Burns and James Rubin, thank you. Very nice to have you on the program.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Former State Department officials Nicholas Burns and James Rubin. Ambassador Burns is currently a professor of diplomacy and international politics at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government, while James Rubin is now a professor at Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs.